27. So, whichever way she sees fit, we'll have her start things off this morning as my better half.
Father, we just lift Dave before you this morning as he brings forth your word, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that the words just flow out of his mouth, Lord. And Father, we know that he heard from you, Lord. And we know this is what we all need this morning, God. Just let it enter into our minds and our hearts, Jesus. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, and they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask for the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of the reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident. I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Title of the message this morning is of David. And I didn't plagiarize it. It just was right at the top of the psalm. It said, of David. Now, there's a number of psalms that say that. But I thought that very simplistic. But it states of David. So, it's very simple. But it really gets to the heart of who David is. As we dive in this morning. So, if you have your outlines in your bulletin, you might need a pen, because I got a couple fill-in-the-blanks for you. Number one, David proclaimed the mighty power of God. Before we get into that too far, it's one of the things we've been focusing on as leadership this year is proclaiming the mighty deeds of God, remembering them, and keeping them in the forefront of our mind. And David starts out in the first three verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. You see, David was very confident of the Lord's ability to destroy his enemies because he'd seen so much of it, right? We all know that David killed Goliath, And he did it pretty big scene in front of a bunch of people. But do you know that David and his mighty men killed more than one giant? Lesser known scripture. So, David starts out in Psalm 27 by saying that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Did you know that David's people also called him the lamp of Israel? If you want to, you can turn to 2 Samuel 21, 15 through 22. I'll give you a second to get there. It's talking about the wars against the Philistines. Verse 15, again, 2 Samuel 21, 15 through 22. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted, partially because everything David did, he gave with all his heart. He didn't go in just swinging a sword around. David gave everything he had, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, and we're going to be talking about Rapha's descendants here in a little bit as we go along, but that's the house of giants. Okay? So as you hear about descendants of Rapha, they're all giants. Like, they were huge. Just like Goliath. Anyway, Ishbi-benob, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels. It's 7.5 pounds, if you can't picture what a shekel looks like. Okay? Who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, "Never again will you go out to battle with us, so that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished." Continuing on in verse 18, in the course of time, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob. At that time, Sibekai, the Hushathite, killed Saph, one of the descendants of Rapha, again, another giant. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. Verse 20, in still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all. He also was a descendant from Rapha, where he taunted Israel, Jonathan's son, and Shimnah. David's brother killed him. There were 4 descendants of Rapha and Gath, and they all fell at the hands of David and his men. Again, not just one giant David slew. Just like when he was preparing for battle with Goliath that first time, David's like, "Look, I got this." Saul's like, "Wait a minute, you're just a little kid." He said, "No, I got this. I've been training. Killed the bear and the lion, both with my bare hands." David was no stranger to taking out big things. As I said earlier, David was very confident with the Lord's ability to destroy his enemies because he had seen so much of it. But that's not necessarily the whole truth. See, part of the reason David was so confident was not because of all the times that God had rescued him. It was because he recognized those times. And he remembered them. How many of you have ever faced a giant? A couple of you. You'd think it'd be pretty memorable, right? Looking at something so big that there's no way you could ever come out victorious. But I ask you another question. How many of you have played sports? I have. I like going back to sports because I know a lot about it. Okay? But how many of you watch sports? And maybe your favorite team is playing the best team in the league that week. Or, right? How many of you may have been in a car accident? I've been in many of them. Okay? And when you think just about the logistics of a car accident, one of the cars I was in, it's over a ton and a half. A ton and a half of steel and plastic, a little bit of rubber. Had a head-on collision going from about probably 45, if I'm being conservative, okay, to zero, like that. Ton and a half of steel. 45 miles an hour to zero, like that. Could ask Michaela to do the physics on that because she's taking a physics class right now, but we'll leave that for another time. You can imagine it's a pretty abrupt stop with a lot of force behind it. There's no way the human body should be able to withstand that. I shouldn't have survived. That was just one of the accidents. Another one, I was in a vehicle over 2 tons when it rolled over because I got T-boned from the side. My arm was being pulled out the window. Somehow I kept myself up off the ground. I don't remember if I had my seatbelt on or not. Somehow they got me. I got out of the car, took me in the ambulance on a stretcher, checked me out, and somehow I was able to walk out. Okay. Amazing. What about the stupid stuff we did as kids? Anybody do any dumb stuff? Like, really dumb stuff? You don't have to admit that. But I will tell a little story about my brother real quick. Dumb stuff. Real little. We didn't know where he was for a little bit. Like, he kind of just disappeared. And we heard him kind of whimpering, crying, behind one of the chairs in the corner. And when my parents got to him, they had a pair of knitting needles that he stuck in the outlet. He crossed them when he stuck them in the outlet, and they welded themselves together. Somehow he survived. Amazing giants we all face. We need to remember that, because I think most of you are still sitting here today, right? That was fun. You can laugh. Anyway, crazy stuff. Number 2, David desired intimacy with God above all else. David desired intimacy with God above all else. Verses 4 and 5. The one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. See, David was seeking that intimacy with God, just looking to get closer and to just be in the same room with Him, just hanging out with Him. I liken it to, on a cold, chilly evening, Maybe like last night, started getting cooler for the first time. Instead of sweating at night, you were kind of chilly. Grabbing your favorite blanket and curling up with it on the couch. Or next to your loved one. In our house, this happens to be our favorite blanket. Our blanket of choice. Okay? Not necessarily for what's on it, but I mean, Dora is really cool and all. Especially when you're a 10-year-old or a senior in high school. But we like it not so much because of what's on it, but because of the material that it's made out of. It's almost, I don't know, like mink or something that just envelops you when you put it on. You're instantly warm. Okay? Doesn't matter how cold it is in the room, this blanket seems to have a heater of its own. And it's just so comfortable. And there's sometimes some heated discussions over who's going to get to use it in the evening when it's chilly. So somebody will say, oh, give me the blanket. And they give them another one because they want this one themselves. But it just brings so much comfort. Like, the comfort David is looking for from God. That he just wants to be near him and dwell with him in his house. All the days of his life. To look at God, just to look at him. See, when we first start dating somebody or finding somebody that we might care about, well, you could just sit there and just look at them. You know, studying every detail. Studying, you know, every line. You know, even the way they smell. I asked permission from Gianna. But Gianna's like this. She, if you ever notice during worship, if I'm standing next to her, she's not just standing there. She's like leaning on me with her arm. And if I'm just standing there, she'll take my arm and put it around her. And make me not just touch her, but like, you know, almost massage her or whatever. Just more than just standing there with you. And she's leaning, like my leg gets tired because she's like pushing on my hip and stuff. But that's her form of love. She wants to be with you so much, you just like, and I know some dogs are like that, that they not only want, it's not good enough just to sit next to you. They have to be like on you, pressing into you the entire time. And some of them forget they're not puppies anymore. See, David seeking the same thing. He's not asking for stuff from God. He's not asking for power. I mean, he was a king. He just wants to be spending time with him, adoring him, hanging out with him. He feels most secure there. This is one of the best warriors in the history of the Bible, in the history of the world. And he feels most secure near to God. He says in verse 5 that he will hide me in the shelter of a sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. See, God is still allowing us to take shelter in him and be set high upon the rock that is his Son. I'm going to pass this off to someone that'll probably appreciate it. Keep them warm because she's usually chilly in here. There you go. If you want it. Number three, David answered the question, what do you get? What do you get? Verse 6, he says, of course, Psalm 27 still, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. See, David was answering his own question from many years ago. Before he battled Goliath, he would go around asking that of anyone who would listen, trying to prepare himself for the battle, just making sure that he knew, look, if I go out there and risk this to beat this uncircumcised Philistine, what am I going to get? Like, what's the king going to do? Because he kind of heard some stuff. What's the king going to do? He said in Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, 25 through 27. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? Talking about Goliath. He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in all Israel. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what would be done for the man who kills him. So David answers his own question. What do you get? You get lifted up above your troubles because you have a smile on your face and a song in your heart that you can sing and shout as loud as you want. See, I love it when people ask me what I'm smiling about. And they usually ask me at a time that I shouldn't be smiling. So I love it because then I can share with them what we're told in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone, everyone, who asks you to give the reason for your hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So David did that by having that song and music that he could sing and play to the Lord. Number four, David cried out to God. Verses 7 through 12, you can almost hear the desperation in his voice. Verse 7 starts, hear my voice, God, when I call you, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. See, David is begging God for his favor. His heart is longing for it. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, my God, my Savior. See, David knows he's messed up. And he doesn't deserve God's blessings. As a matter of fact, he deserves much, much worse. But he still asks for God to remember being his helper and not to turn David away. David still proclaims that God is his Savior. Verse 10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your ways, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. David tells God that he is fully dependent on him because everyone else around him has failed him, left him, or died. Whether that's from you know, leaving him down in certain situations or passing away. It doesn't really matter. David still feels alone and orphaned. But David knows God and knows he won't leave him there. So he asks God to teach him again, to make it so plain that he can't mess up this time. Because there are many around David looking for him to fail. But this time he can make it with God's help. Verse 12, "Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations." David cries out to God. David cries out to God to deliver him from the evil that awaits him if his haters are victorious. See, David's like Christ because they both had false accusers looking down on them, trying to do them harm and tear them down. Point number 5. David wouldn't keep quiet. He wouldn't keep quiet. Our last two verses tell us this very clearly. "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." It's almost like at this point, David's turning to the camera in a movie or on a show. Turning to the camera, looking right into the camera, saying, "You can do it. God will be there for you." He knows that it's not time to give up. He knows that God will come through, just like He's done before so many times. Just like David, we should proclaim the mighty power of God. We should desire the intimacy with God above all else. We should answer the questions, what do we get? We should cry out to God. And we shouldn't keep quiet. There. I know your outline seems to be finished, but I'm going to challenge you to do one more thing. I want you to cross out the word David anytime it appears on there. On each of the lines, including the title line where it says, "Of David," cross out the word David. Now, I want you to put your name in there. And I would like you to read through it with me, saying your name instead of David's. You ready? I'm going to turn around this way. My name's the same, by the way. Of David. You guys can read with me. David proclaimed the mighty power of God. David desired intimacy with God above all else. David answered the questions, what do you get? David cried out to God. And David shouldn't keep quiet. Now, if you had any trouble reading those statements with a clear conscience, I'd like to invite you this morning to come forward and to work those things out with God. See, there's going to be people available to pray with you. And obviously we keep things confidential. You got some real struggles to go through, to work through. That's okay. Because I believe your God is the same God of David who is able slew not only one giant, but many. Not just overcome one sin, but many. See, sometimes we think, man, my situation's way worse. David killed a guy. And other stuff. So, that's something else that we shouldn't really do, is compare my sin to yours. My stuff any worse than yours? Is your stuff any worse than mine? No. It's just different. See, that's what Christ did. His whole purpose is to come and wash it all away. To take it away. And if we continue to carry those burdens because we messed up. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it wasn't. It was just an accident. But we continue to hold on to it. Let it plague us. Let the enemy use it as fodder against us. Sacrifice pointless. Like you did it for nothing. I certainly don't want to be the one accused of that. So, as God's talking to you this morning, what do you get is pretty good. It just lifts it off of you in such a gentle manner when we decide to lay it down. That we can dwell in God's house and we can dine with Him in such a way that it's just unimaginable. Way better than wrapping up in a stinky blanket. So, I challenge you this morning to read through that list again. And if God's saying, you know, maybe He's got something here, talk to Him about it. But you people, we can help you through it. Because it's not us.